The 19th chapter of John's Gospel, we read the account of how Christ is tried before Pilate and ultimately led away to be crucified. Pilate writes a title and puts it above the cross of Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He writes it in Hebrew, Greek and Latin. The Jews object that Christ claimed to be the King of the Jews. But Pilate answers them, what I have written, I have written. And verse 23 continues, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. Complete. Accomplished. Finished. This moment, this event, is that singular moment in time in all history which was foreseen from the beginning of time, which was purposed by God before ever mankind fell in the garden and turned against his Maker. Before ever sin entered the perfect world which God had created, this moment in time is that moment upon which all history folds. All time leading up to it, and all the hundreds of years following on from it, are all in relation to this event when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was nailed to a cross and crucified for sinners. And when, having completed the work which his Father gave him to do, having completed that purpose for which he came into this world, having suffered unto death, having taken away the sins of his people, having taken away the sin of the world, having brought in everlasting righteousness and eternal life for a countless multitude, having done all that was necessary to save every single one for whom he came, Christ cries out in victory, It is finished. This moment, this event should be at the forefront of all your thoughts and goals and ambitions in this world. It should be the thing that comes to your mind. It's more important, more vital, more important to you than your daily bread, than your food or water, than your job, than your ambitions, than your life itself. It's more vital and more vitally important to you than anything else in this world. Anything else you could consider, anything else you could desire. What happened here will determine where you will be for eternity. What happened here will determine whether you will live or die. It is finished. All history folds in on this event. All creation had been waiting for this day, this hour, and this moment, yearning for it, longing for it, waiting for the Saviour to come, waiting for the light to shine in the darkness, waiting for the captives to be released, waiting for the generations and years of death to be undone with the bringing in of life. Until Christ entered this world, the world lay in darkness. All born of Adam were born sinners. All born of Adam are born sinners. You are born a sinner. And the only possibility of you being delivered from your sins, the only possibility of that death which reigns in your mortal body being undone, and you being brought to live, the only possibility of your sins being wiped out and you being made to be righteous before a holy God, comes because there was a man upon a cross, crucified, who at the end of those hours of suffering cried out, "It is finished." Yes, all creation had yearned for this moment, longed for this moment. Generations had been born who had heard the prophets speak of the Saviour's coming, of Messiah's coming. Speak of that one who would be pierced. Speak of that one who would suffer for others. Speak of that one who would bring in redemption, ransom, deliverance, salvation. Speak of this moment. Generations were born who looked by faith for the coming of Messiah and who didn't see him. Generation after generation after generation heard the word of God by the mouths of the prophets and looked and waited and longed and believed and knew it would come. And even if it didn't come in their lifetime, they believed what God said, that God would send a Saviour to set his people free. And here at last, thousands of years after the day in which Adam plunged all humanity into sin, at last Christ comes and sets his people free. It is finished. All the expectation of heaven itself had been looking on and awaiting for this event to come about. When Christ was born in Bethlehem, when the heavenly host appeared unto the shepherds and the hillsides and declared how peace on earth was come, they spake not simply of the moment at which the babe was born, but their focus was on that which he would accomplish. They were looking to this moment when peace would be wrought. When those who were at enmity with God and their fellow man would be brought to union with God, because there was one who took their sins away. It is finished. Was it finished for you? When he cried out, "It is finished," was he speaking of your salvation or your damnation? It is finished. It is finished. It is. What is? What is this salvation? What is this of which Christ spake? It is finished. Did he speak simply of the suffering? Did he, knowing that he was about to be released from the pain and the anguish, speak of the pain coming to an end? Did he speak as a man might speak who knows his time is over and knows his life is concluded and knows his ministry, his work is no more? Did Christ speak in defeat, as it were, that it's all over now? No. These aren't the words of defeat. These aren't the words of resignation. Nor are these the words of escape or release or relief that the pain and the suffering is over. These are the words of victory and accomplishment and completion. It is finished. It is complete. I have accomplished that for which I came. I have saved my people. I have set them free. It is. Salvation is finished. The justification of sinners before a holy God, that they should be declared just and holy and righteous before God, is finished. Righteousness has been wrought. Righteousness has been brought in on their behalf. Christ has died. And through his suffering and death, the righteousness of God judged that people's sins and was made to be theirs in him. Justification is finished. Redemption. Redemption is finished. The setting free of that people by the death of another, by the paying of a redemption price, by the paying of a price that people should be redeemed and set free. It's finished. The ransom is finished. That people held captive, who might be released only if a ransom price were paid, were released when Christ paid the price to set them free by laying down his own life, because the price to set you free is death. You have broken God's law. You have rebelled against his righteousness. You have assaulted the very character and being of God with your rebellion and hatred of him. And you have earned yourself a penalty, earned yourself condemnation, earned yourself judgment. The price for your willful disobedience and your apathy and your disinterest and your unbelief and your scorn and your mockery of the gospel and of the Christ and of God and his Son You're living your life for yourself, for your own glory, to further your own ambitions. Your disinterest in God and his Son has earned you condemnation. There is a price to be paid for what you have done and what you have fought and what you have sown. And that price is death. And either you will pay that price, or you must hope that another should come in your place and pay the price for you. A ransom price. You are captive, hostage to sin. And you cannot set yourself free. No matter how hard you try, no matter how good you strive to be, no matter how zealous in religion you might become, you cannot set yourself free. You are a hostage. You are bound. Bound fast. With chains that tie you to the ground. With chains that pull you down. With chains that pull you down to the depths of hell because of all that you have done and all that you are. And the only way you will be set free is if a price is paid. Well, here at the cross for his people, Christ cried out, "It is finished," because he paid the price to the very last penny. Finished. And because it was finished, deliverance for that people was wrought and was complete. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And here he cries out that that salvation is complete. I have saved them. They are free. Free to go. Not guilty. Until this moment, if a sentence was to be declared concerning you or I, the sentence would be guilty. But at this moment, and because of this moment, and eternity looked throughout unto this moment, because of this moment in time, God can say of that people, not guilty. There is not one sin which has not been paid for. There is not one thought, one deed, one action which I can see in them now, for which my judgment, for which my justice, of which mine anger will burn. I see no spot or blemish. They are perfect. They are just. They are righteous. In my Son, there is nothing to add, nothing to be done, no more that needs to be added to his righteousness, no more sin that needs to be purged, no more price that needs to be paid, no more work that needs to be wrought. All is complete. Behold, my beloved Son, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Saviour, who cried out, "It is finished." All of it. He drank the cup of God's wrath to the dregs. He drank it for every sin. Every drop for every sin. None was without punishment. None was spared. He drank every drop. And this is what's pictured here. When Christ cried out, "I thirst." And there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." There could be no crying out that salvation was complete, except Christ drank the cup, except he drank the wine of God's wrath. That bitter wine, pictured here by the vinegar, that bitter wine of God's wrath that purges us from sin, put it upon hyssop. They put the vinegar upon hyssop and to his mouth, as pictured in the Old Testament sacrifices, purged with hyssop. How our sins were purged by the wrath of God. The wine of God's wrath, the vinegar, the bitter wine upon hyssop that Christ drank. And when he'd received it, received every drop of it, he cried out, "It is finished." Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, said, "I thirst." And he drank the cup and said, "It is finished. It is accomplished. It is complete. It is over. I have saved my people from their sins. It is finished. It is finished. It is." When he said it's finished, there was no doubt about it. It is, it was, and it is today. God saves. Salvation is of the Lord. There's nothing to add to this. There's nothing to be done. There's nothing left to do. There's no conditions left to be met. When Christ died for his people, when he drank the cup, when he cried out, "It is finished," he had saved them. If he died for you, sinner, you are saved. You may say, "Oh, I don't know that yet." You may say, "I've no assurance of that yet. I've heard, but I don't know." But if Christ died, your salvation is certain. All that's left to be done in time is for the reality of that salvation to be brought to your understanding, to be brought to your knowledge by the Holy Spirit through the gospel. All that is left to be done is for the Holy Ghost to go forth throughout this world, taking the news of this event by the gospel, by the preaching of that gospel, to the ears of those for whom Christ died, and bringing them by his mighty power to be brought to life, to have faith enter their heart, that they might see and believe. But the reason they are brought to faith, the reason that they are brought to see, the reason that they are brought to believe, the reason that you will be brought to believe if you ever do, is because Christ made it certain when he died and cried out, "It is finished." All for whom he died will hear and will believe and will go into glory in the end, because it is finished. There is nothing to do, nothing to add, nothing that Christ left undone. There are no works that man must perform in order to be saved. Christ has completed the work. There is no decision or act of the will of man that must be made to bring about salvation. God has determined who will be saved. God determined for whom Christ should die. And God will determine who will hear that gospel and receive the knowledge of this truth. If God purposed your salvation, he purposed it from before the foundation of this earth, before this world was made, before you were born, before you went astray, before you came to here, before you sat here this day, God said, this one will be saved. And he sacrificed his son that you should be saved if you're his. And he offered up that son. Christ the priest took himself and offered up himself as a sweet smelling sacrifice, a sweet smelling savour unto God. And God smelt that sacrifice and was well pleased. Well pleased in his son. All that his justice demanded, all that he required to have a people saved and delivered from their sins was wrought and complete. God said, I am well pleased in him, well pleased in his son, well pleased with that people in his son. They're perfect in him. He did it all. Your will, your decision has nothing to do with it. You're born unwilling. You're born raging against these things. You may sit here today still unwilling. Set against God, set against his son, set against the Christ, set against the gospel, set against this preacher, set against any who come with this message. You may rage against it, and that's your will by nature. But in the day of God's power, if God determines to save you, your will be turned. And it won't be you that turns your will. It won't be you that turns your way. God will change your will. God will make you willing. God will turn you. God will make you hear. God will open your eyes to see. God will put a love for his truth in your heart. And if he says you will be saved, it will come about. Your will, your natural will, your decision has nothing to do with it. It's a consequence of the will of God. All whom God wills to be saved will be made willing, will choose, will follow, will believe. As many as received him, to them gave he power, John says in chapter 1 of his gospel, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God wills it. God wills it. There's nothing to add. You don't have to add your works to God's works, your works to Christ's death. You don't have to add your decision or your will or your choice. Christ wrought salvation completely. It's all done. He did it all. And he will either do it all. He will either do it all for you, or he will do nothing at all. He will either bring about your salvation in its entirety, or he will leave you in the blood of your own sin. He will leave you in darkness. He will leave you to fall into the hells of fire to come. He will do all to save, or he will do nothing. There is no mixing, no mixture, no mixture of your will with God's will, your works with God's works, your righteousness with God's righteousness. It's all of God. Or it's all of man, and if it's all of man, it will bring you into death. There's no mixture. He will not share his glory with man. He will save and save to the uttermost. He will bring in for his people an everlasting righteousness without beginning and without end, without seam. No mixture. No mixture of your good works with his righteousness, but entirely his. Which is why the garment, the coat which Christ wore, which the soldiers he parted and divided between them, had no seam. Verse 23, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier apart, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. It had no seam. It was made like a circle, round and round and round, without beginning and without end. The coat, a picture of righteousness, that which covers the nakedness. We are naked before God. Our sins are exposed before him. And we need a cover. We need to be covered in righteousness. We need that sin to be covered and put out of sight. We need to be clothed in righteousness. And our covering, our righteousness won't do it. It is but the fig leaves that Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves with. Full of seams. Full of gaps. Ready to fall off. You can't sew fig leaves together and produce a seamless coat, no matter how well you live, no matter how righteous you may think you are. God's righteousness, God's sight, God's holiness will see through, and your sin will be found flowing out from every gap and corner. It defiles it all. You have no righteousness. Even your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Even those fig leaves of righteousness that you try to sow to present to God something in which you may glory are as filthy rags before him, stained by your sin. And it's full of seams, full of joints, full of gaps. But Christ has a coat with which he clothes his people. He has a righteousness which is without seam, woven from the top throughout. It's without. It has no beginning and no end, because it is the very righteousness of God. It's eternal. It has no beginning. It is as righteous as he has ever been righteous. It's the same righteousness he had before he ever entered this world. The same righteousness he has after he has entered this world. It's the righteousness of God. But it's that righteousness which he brought in, that everlasting eternal righteousness, which he brought in for his people at the cross. It was ever his, but it was never theirs. Until he cried out, "It is finished." And it will ever be his and never yours. Unless he for you cried out, "It is finished." And you need that righteousness if you're ever to stand before him. No mixture. No mixture of yours with his. There's no seam in his righteousness. There's no entrance in. There's no union with your good works. Yours would defile it. But praise God, for his people he brought in a righteousness, a perfection, which is everlasting. It is finished. It is finished, finished, complete, accomplished, without anything more to do. It's over. As Christ said in John chapter 17, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." John 17, Jesus says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I've finished. He came into this world, born a perfect man, taking humanity into union with his divinity. Like as we are, having flesh, having a human soul and body and flesh as we do, yet without sin. He was the only man that walked upon this world, upon this earth, without sin. He shone forth the righteousness of God. He shone forth the light and the glory of God in the midst of the darkness. He came speaking of the kingdom of God, speaking of his Father, speaking of salvation. He came preaching the gospel unto those who were in captivity. He came to those locked, as it were, in the prison cells and came preaching of deliverance. And he led them by his gospel to that place where he would deliver them. All his lifetime was set upon that day when he would go to a place called Golgotha, the place of a skull, the place where the head should die, the head of the church should be crucified, and where all his people should be crucified in him. The place of the skull, the head. He came, and his face was set like a flint to go to Jerusalem to be crucified for his people. He did all that the Father asked of him. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Made under the law could find no fault in him. The law measured him and tested him. But because he was God, because of the righteousness of God which shone forth from him, there was no fault found in him. The law could not condemn him. He was an innocent man under it. For as a substitute of sinners, crucified in the place of others, God took the condemnation of that law meant for them and laid it upon his head, and put his hand upon the head of his own son, as the priest took the hand and put it upon the head of the sacrifice, and took the knife, the blade of God's justice, and thrust it into the side of his own son. He crucified the Son of Glory. And the reason he was crucified was because of the sins of people like you and I. We crucified the Prince of Glory. We put him to death. Our sins brought about his death. But when he died, when all was done, he could cry out with a certainty, "It is finished." For it was. If Christ died for you, he saved you. If Christ died for you, he saved you. Your salvation is wrought. It is complete. It is certain. There is nothing that can stand in its way. There is nothing that can prevent it. There is nothing that you or anyone else can do, say, or think which will prevent you entering into glory on the last day. If Christ died for you, you are saved. You will be saved. You will believe. It's complete, it's wrought, it's accomplished, it's finished, it's certain. And if certain, then you will be saved. You will go to glory. You will. And if certain, then you will believe. You will. Kick against it all you like. Fight it all you like with all your might and all your strength. Shut your ears to these truths all you like, to this gospel. Turn away from it. Ignore it. Question it. Dispute it. Argue against it all you like. In the end, you will believe. Because God has determined it. And because it is finished. It is finished. Are you finished? Have you finished? Have you finished running away from God? Running away from the truth? Running away from reality? Running away from the gospel? Running away from life and death? Running away from the Saviour? Have you finished? Have you finished turning your back? Have you finished fighting against the truth? Have you finished seeking your own glory and your own ways and your own wealth and your own ambitions? Have you finished? Have you finished reasoning with the scriptures? Have you finished with false religion? Have you finished with your works of righteousness and your will and your glory? Have you finished with the deceptions and foolishness of men? Have you finished? Are you finished? Are you finished? Because if it is finished, if what Christ did is finished, if it is finished, and if God finished it for you, then one day, perhaps this day, you will be finished with your foolishness. You will be finished with your mad career towards hell. You will be finished with your unbelief. You will be finished with your sin. You will be finished with the world. You will be finished with self and self-glory. You will be finished with unbelief. If it is finished, if it is finished for you, then one day, perhaps this day, by the grace of God, by the grace of God which brings salvation, one day, perhaps this day, you will believe. You will believe. Because all for whom Christ died will hear. They will hear that gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. They will hear. And hearing, they will believe. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One day, all for whom Christ died will hear and will believe. And if he died for you, one day by the grace of God, you will hear and you will believe. For it is finished. It is finished. Is it finished for you? Is it? When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost.